Welcome back to the Insane Asylum. That's right, Otis B. Dreads here, Night of the Living Dreads podcast, episode 52. That's right, 52 episodes of this shitstorm. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what. For one, it's kind of a sad day. SJ is not with us. He was taken off. He acted up. And the white coats, as you all know, who have listened to this podcast, know the white coats in the insane asylum do not mess around. He is being injected probably with all types of pretty color liquids and all different rainbows. It's like a Skittles of medication they're probably throwing down his throat. Hopefully he will come to maybe join us later. We don't know, but big things happening here in the insane asylum. There has been a new patient that has come to us. That's right. Mr. Don Skirl. Don, how are you, sir?
How did I end up here? And why are the walls a lime green color?
Well, because you got the blue pill.
The blue pill?
I'm guessing that's what you got. I saw different color walls when I first got here.
That's cool because, you know, I wonder if it was my alternate personality, Chiller the Clown. Got in here.
It's probably why you're in the insane asylum, my friend. But welcome to the podcast. That's right. We have three hosts now. Myself, obviously, Otis B. Dreads, SJ, and Don. We're going to tear up the horror podcast scene. That's right. Before we do that, because we got a good one coming up, a lot of speculation that can go on, at least in some aspects of this case that we're going to talk. Before we do that, we have to give some shout outs to NLD's fam. That's right. Some shout outs to those on Facebook. And Don has some shout outs he wants to give out. I'm going to start, and Don, you're going to pull up the rear. No pun intended. Let's start off with Misfit Horror Fiend Club. That's right. Misfit Horror Fiend Club. You're into the misfits, the old punk scene, and you love yourself some horror. That's the place you want to be to talk all things misfits and horror. Check them out on Facebook. Of course, we have the Twilight Hour, which I've given a lot of love to one of the admins over there, Amanda Thomas, who helps NLD with some of our little picks, I guess you could say podcast posters. I guess that would be appropriate. The little picks that we have on our podcast. She has brought so many people to the Facebook page. I want to thank her, Twilight Hour, check them out, or The Twilight Hour, check them out, Slaughterhouse. Now, Don, Beans SJ, and Mrs. Dreads is not here. When I say Slaughter On, Wayne, what do you say?
Slaughter On, Garth.
All right, let's try this. Slaughterhouse on Facebook, Slaughter On, Wayne.
Slaughter On, Garth.
All right, rock on, brother. And check them out, man. We also have the Zombie Boob. That's just fun to say. Am I lying?
Is it boob or boob?
It's boob.
Boob.
Boob. Not poop.
Boop.
Not zombie poop.
Boop. I don't know about zombie poop. Zombie poop can be messy.
It really can. But zombie boobs can be kind of cool. So zombie boob, check them out on Facebook. We also have, we have Cannabis Arcade. Cannabis spelled with a K. I guess you can, figure out what that's all about. Yours truly, Otis B. Dreads. a lover of Mary Jane. Yes, I'm cheating on Mrs. Dreads with Mary. Mary Jane.
One more time to kill the pain.
Didn't know you sang.
Maybe a little.
Maybe you ought to just hold on to that talent.
Might do.
And of course, Cannabis Bell with a K, Cannabis Arcade. You can also find myself, Don, SJ, Mrs. Dreads, also Malice, our long-lost friend Malice Murphy. You can find all of us over there at Night of the Living Dreads, Dreads with no A. We're on Facebook, we're on Stitcher, of course, nightoflivingdreads.com, where you can check out this episode, our past episodes, all in one spot. And Don, you have a few little shout outs you would like to give my friend.
Yes. Go check out my page, Chiller the Clown and Queen Oysters, on Facebook, as well as Scary Face on Facebook, scaryface.com. Check out Apollo PC Glasgow, where you can get your PCs tuned up. DNJ Vapor. Yes, I am a vaping hot clown. So go check out DNJ Vapor on Facebook. Team Wizard Blend. Check out steamjuice.us. Promo code Chiller. I've got some vape juice there. It's called Frosty Chiller. SpookyEyes.com. Go get you some eyeballs. Use Chiller as a promo code there. Get 15% off. Go check out Tony Buck FX Studios. Tony Buck FX Studios will fix you up with a mask and tell him you know Chiller. He might work out a discount for you. So yeah, go
a
check
frosty,
that out.
Frosty, frosty deal that you could get there.
Yes. A big frosty deal. Frosty. Holy
frosty,
snowball.
Frosty. Not like Frosty the Snowman, right?
Holy snowballs, no.
Holy snowballs. One thing, I think we need to kind of introduce you before we get into our topic, Don. We need to introduce you so people kind of, you know exactly who they're talking to. And I thought that one good way to do that would be to, let's start a little segment called What Chaps Don's Ass?
Do you want to know what chaps Don's ass?
I do.
Let me tell you something. The Salt Life stickers that you see on the back of the windows of vehicles like trucks and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got some people that live in different states that are landlocked, not even around the ocean, right? They run around with Salt Life stickers, and it just drives me insane. What are you doing? You go into the lake, you expect that to be your Salt Life? There is no salt in that lake, you know? Don't come at me with the Salt Life stickers. Come on, man. What do you... Pour table salt on the table? Are you about that Salt Life? Is that what you're talking about?
Epsom salt in the bathtub?
Yeah, really. Right. Epsom salt in the bathtub? Really. Come on, man. It's got to stop the atrocities and things with these stickers on these vehicles. Come on. Are you gonna put a Ron John sticker on? You're gonna have a surfboard, and here you are living in like Oregon or like Arkansas. Come on, man.
Right.
This drives me insane.
Insane.
You know? Yeah, I'm already insane. It just drives me overboard. You know? I mean, come on. Salt Life.
That little like sex living. Wax, the surfboard wax, sex wax, I guess they have one of them. I've never seen any one of these vehicles that have the Salt Life type stickers on there. I get why that chaps your ass, my friend. I never see any one of those vehicles with a fucking surfboard on top.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah, you see it covered in mud. You know, they're big mudders, you know, out back. I understand
that. Out mudding.
Out mudding. But them going out there with the Salt Life stickers, come on, man. Come on. If I lived in Florida, somewhere on the coast, you know, the Gulf of Mexico, you'd catch me maybe with a Salt Life sticker on the back. But, you know, I don't live anywhere near the coast. I'm not going to have a Salt Life. And it's just a big running joke. It's like, Salt Life, come on, man. Okay.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, there's a little bit of, some of Don's personality. I forgot to plug my headphones in because I'm... You know, the most prepared podcast host on the face of the entire earth. But now I'm good.
Yep. There you go.
Yep. There I go. All right. I forgot to bring that up. From now on, NLD here has their own little drinking game. If listening to us wasn't good enough, but you do like to have a few beverages while you're listening to a podcast, this is one that I think is going to go right up your alley. And that would be the drinking game with NLD, that's right. It has been brought to my attention by Mrs. Dreads that I say a lot. It just comes out. It's just a way that I talk. You'll hear it. It's very genuine. I'm not trying to, you know, say this. It's just the way it is, you know. And you'll probably hear him laugh the entire time, Don. So the game is, all right, now check this out. I talked to my wife just earlier, right before we started recording, and she tells me that listening to you, Don, talk, you say... as much as I do.
Well, you know that I know that, you know that we both say, that I know.
So, the drinking game is, you take your beverage of choice, and you can take as much of a drink as you want. But, every time you hear myself say, and in a genuine way, not like I'm just, you know, see, I just did it there. That was genuine. And you'll always hear Don laugh every time. Every time you hear me say, and you hear Don say, you take a drink. A shot would be preferred because I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys aren't going to get through the end of the podcast.
They're gonna be laying in the floor. I'm telling you, Otis, they're gonna be laying in the floor. There's no hope for it.
With this drinking game, we can call this a three. You listen to this podcast three times, and you're an alcoholic.
I think they'll do good to get through it twice without going to AA. I mean,
oh my goodness. All right, so we're talking about Slender Man and the Slender Man stabbings. And you see, what'd you say? You seen something about that? Slender Moo. Well, this is 2020, so we can't really say Slender Man.
Central gender Slender Bender.
No gender Slender Man. Or Slender Moo. No gender Slender Moo. So, non-gender Slender Moo, for those that are offended by us using the word man, the non-gender slender person is a fictional creation on an online forum that started off at Something Awful for a 2009 Photoshop paranormal image contest. That's all it was a contest, okay? And we'll get into, I guess, a little bit of, you know, maybe where some of these, Slender Man mythos come from.
Good old Slender.
Good old Slender Moo.
Good old Slender Poop.
Slender Poop?
Yeah, Slender Poop.
Slender. Slender Poop. This also ended up, and it was, again, a Photoshop contest. And, people submitting pictures of children at playgrounds, and all of a sudden, you see in the background a tall, slender person. Very strange person. Now, this whole mythos is supposed to be that this slender person takes and haunts, or not haunts, takes and I guess hunts, maybe, children. He said to like kidnap kids or kill kids or whatever.
He takes them off,
like stalks them, and yeah,
stalking, creeping. Pretty much.
Do you know how you can figure out if you've come in contact with the slender person? It's said that this entity can cause amnesia. How would you remember, though?
Exactly.
bouts of coughing. I guess if you're a non-smoker, that may be weird. I don't know.
I get choked on my own saliva, so, you know.
Right. paranoid behaviors.
Well, we're all paranoid.
Right? But these are some of the things that if you had come in contact with this person, or it's around, it can cause these kind of things. Now, it absolutely did for two young girls. They were 12 years old, Anissa Wire and Morgan Geyser. They were both 12 years old. There was a third girl involved who was actually one of Morgan's friends, starting at about fourth grade. Knew her since she was in kindergarten, which happens to be the victim in this whole story. Her name is Peyton Lutner. Am I even saying that right?
Lutner? Yeah, that sounds about, yeah.
But we're going to call her Bella from now on, because that was the name that Morgan and Anissa called her, Bella. Because her first name was, or her middle name, I think, was Isabella or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Okay, the basis of this story, because there's so much really more to talk about versus, you know, outside of the actual stabbing case. But I'm going to run through an overview of this. And Don, please jump in anytime if you have, you know, something to add to this. You have these three 12-year-old girls. Morgan and Anissa rode this same bus together. So they probably lived right around the same neighborhood, and this and that. They take and they you know, become friends. Anissa takes and looks into this slender man. Slender person, sorry.
Neutral and, gender slender.
Neutral gender slender.
You got to mention that he was a creepypasta. He was a creepypasta.
And that's where it grew from, you know, the creepypasta. It started out in somethingawful.com, I think it was, or .net. And it, you know, went to the creepypasta. You know a little bit about creepypasta. Well, you know, creepypasta is basically what? A copy and paste, you know, scary stories.
Yes.
Type website, yeah.
It can also be molded cheese or something that you left in the refrigerator, like spaghetti and meatballs. That's some creepypasta right there, too.
That is, yeah. Anyway. Or a science project, whichever one. So we have it's creepypasta.wiki, I think was the site. I don't even know if they're still around. Are they still around?
You know, I haven't really looked into it as of late, but I'd say they're still around some way or some form.
Well, they're still El Hee Hee, and we can maybe touch on him later.
How did that go?
Anissa starts looking into this creepypasta, and you know, she comes across this slender man.
Okay. Slender person.
Slender person. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody. He's lying. She comes across this slender person. She starts, I'm thinking that she's reading in, you know, to this story more and more, passes this story off to Morgan. And this is where Morgan first, you know, finds out about it. Morgan tells Anissa, wow, that's weird. You know, this person you're describing in this scary story, I saw them when I was 5 years old. And they're probably about maybe 11, 12 years old at this time. Because I think they had only been friends, Morgan and Anissa, for like 4 or 5 months.
Right.
Before, you know, all of this, you know, really. So, yeah, it hadn't been years like it was with Morgan and Peyton.
Right.
So, you know, they... You know, she starts saying, oh, yeah, I saw this slender person when I was like 5 years old. And Morgan's a creepy chick anyway.
Yeah, kind of way out there.
Yeah, she really is. And I'll post some links in the description over there at nightlivingdreads.com on the this particular episode page. I'll put some links down there so you can check this out, because we're just going to give you a rough overview of this story. And this is something that we think you dreadheads would like to, you know, maybe look into if you haven't already. There wasn't really any disciplinary problems in school with Morgan or Anissa. There wasn't none of that. They just seemed to be normal 12-year-old girls, except they started developing this fascination with this slender person.
Again, off the internet. They saw it on the internet.
All the internet. And, it was said in one of the documentaries, and I'll post a few links of these documentaries. It was said that creepypasta is kind of your internet version of a campfire story.
Exactly. It's a glorified campfire story in detail.
It's like an urban legend, pretty much.
Pretty much.
So, they take this really to heart. They really believe that this slender person is taking and watching them at all times. He has teleportation skills. If you see him in your dreams, then he's following you. That's weird, right?
Yeah, that's almost like Freddy Krueger or something,
Right. I guess it's the, modern day, supposed to be real life version of like a Freddy Krueger, I guess. If he sees you in your dreams or you see him in your dreams, you in turn are going to be followed by this slender person.
Well, there's just so many ideas about him anyway, but just to touch on it, he could have been a demon. He could have been, an alien. There's a new theory that he could have been a long, tall, slender alien, the Men in Black type deal. But we'll go ahead and discuss that here in a few.
Yeah, because he always wore a suit.
Right, right.
It was always said that he wore like a black suit. He was very formally dressed. So they take... And they dive so much into this this scary story. Something that is meant to be fun.
Exactly.
Something that is meant to be enjoyed, to get a little scare. And it just went completely berserk at that point. Because now, and it's undetermined really, who said what, whether it was Anissa, whether it was Morgan, who initiated the whole proxy thing. A proxy in this Slender Man mythos is that Slender Man is pretty much the top dog, okay? And he needs people to take and... do his bidding, I guess,
little minions,
right? Minions, puppets, I think was another term that was used.
Yeah, they supposedly, he gathers people and they do his work. They find other people and do his bidding. So to say.
Right. And that's exactly, where this story starts, to get a little crazy. Because in order to be a proxy for this slender person, you have to prove your loyalty to the slender person. And that will enable you to stay in this mansion or this big creepy house with apparently all the creepy pastas is what Anissa said, which I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you have a different, vision of this, but what she says is, we can stay in this house and be proxies and live with all the creepy pastas. Does that not mean that she is thinking that she's going to be able to live with all of these other, fictional horror story characters? Is that what I'm getting here?
That's what it sounds like to me. Like, you know, I do this, I'm going to go and live, you know, in this little different dimension with all of these creepypasta characters that, you know, some of them seem real, you know, or sound real. And then there's a lot of creepypastas that are just ridiculous. So, you know, it's, you know, I'll tell you the feelings on that here as we get into the story, but, you know,
right.
I think that that's what they meant, that they were going to live in this mansion, in this dimension with all these characters.
And yeah, and that right there shows an amount of delusion towards this, you know, just a really delusional mindset. And it really gets strange because now they believe, in order to become a proxy and prove their loyalty to the Slender Person, they have to kill someone, and this is what I heard, someone close to them. It was never really explained why it was Peyton or Bella, as she was referred to by Anissa and Morgan. It was never really, you know, said, but it was kind of that, and you know, it had to be somebody close. Now, before I go any further, there have been other stories of early teenage individuals. Some were teenage girls. One 14-year-old teenage girl burnt her whole house down because Slender Person told her to. Luckily, her, you know, whoever was in the house was not injured. Nobody died there. So this is not an isolated case of this, you know, Slender Person fascination. So what happens is there's a slumber party, and this happens at Morgan's house. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I've watched documentaries, and maybe I'm just a cold-hearted bastard, but I dislike everyone on that documentary, and that includes some of the detectives, some of the police, the family members of Anissa, family members of Morgan. They all irritate me. The only people I have any sympathy for is Bella and her parents. That everyone else in that documentary that I watched, anyway, you can watch it on YouTube, called The Slender Man Stabbing. It's about an hour and 53 minutes long. I think it was an HBO documentary. You just watch it. There's just so much that I can hardly stomach. Have you checked all of that out or some of it yet, Don?
Yes. And you know, it was rather disturbing, you know, the case. And you know, I mean, as I recall, the two girls, weren't they going to hike a long ways to these woods where Slender Man was living? That
was part of the delusion after they, you know, initiated their attack. And that's what we're getting to. They had this slumber party. Normal. Morgan's mom said it was just a normal type 12-year-old, three girls, slumber party. I think it might even been almost like a birthday party, I think I heard. But a slumber party nonetheless. They get up the next morning, they're eating breakfast, they're just typical 12-year-old girls, nothing to be alarmed about. What happens is they leave the house, and here's another point of, you know, well, who, you know, what's the real story here? At any rate, when they leave the house, either Morgan or Anissa grabbed a kitchen knife. Now, we're not talking, you know, butter knife, steak knife. We're talking about a knife that has about a 5-inch blade on it. stick it in a duffel bag or whatnot, which also had a bunch of water, some granola bars, and, you know, some things, you know, little fruit snacks and things like that. They leave. Anissa said she had no idea that there was a knife in that bag. Because now, they, in order to be a proxy, they have to kill, and they decided they were going to, you know, try and kill Peyton, Bella. And if they didn't, that Slender Person, was going to come and kill both of their families. That's just absurd to me. Go ahead. No, I mean, because nobody can, you know, I don't know. I just, this whole case just.
I mean, it looks like if he threatened to kill the parents, I mean, 12 years old, I mean, I would have told my parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would.
Right.
I would have been like, hey, you know, something's going on here. You know, I'm seeing things, hearing things, something, there's a problem.
Doesn't it seem like that they didn't really have a whole lot of communication with their parents? I mean, going by what you said, if I, you know, read or whatever, even at 12 years old, you know, read something that says, oh, you have to do this to be a part of this little cult, which is what it sounds like, okay? To be a part of this little cult, you have to kill, you know, someone close to you. And if you don't do that, we're going to kill your parents. Why would you not tell your parents?
Exactly. I mean, it sounded a little fishy to begin with. And, you know, thinking their parents, you know, I mean, you know, everything's online nowadays. It's not like the beginning of the, you know, computer age with the internet and stuff like that. You would think that the parents would have monitored everything that the children did. You know, I know it was told that, you know, that the parents did watch the children or tried to keep an eye on the children, but, you know, there's features on the computer, you know, that you can use to keep children off of sites that you don't want them to be on. You know, it's the day and age now where you have to monitor kids. You have to watch what they look up and watch on the internet, because the internet's dangerous. It can be good, it can be evil, but I mean, it's very dangerous for kids.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for sure, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Okay, you're a parent. I'm a parent. We don't know everything that's out there on the internet. A lot of these parents, one of the detectives that actually interviewed Morgan, had no idea, had a 12-year-old daughter, had no idea what the fuck Slender Person was.
Right. But it's
had never heard
job.
Of it.
It's our job to get on the internet and educate ourselves about what is out there, you know, bugging children or bugging, you know, and seeing what's being put out there. I mean, it's common sense to know that, you know, there's horror stories and things on the internet that are explicit or not suitable for children. So, you know,
let me ask you this. How the fuck, where do you start when you're like, okay, I need to, you know, research and look into what my kids may be looking into? Are you supposed to research the entire internet? I mean, there's so much information there. How does a parent do that?
You check your child's device. You can look up, pull up Google search histories, mm-hmm. things of that
search
nature.
History, right? Yeah. Right.
And look into it like any responsible adult should be doing.
I get it. Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Hey, I have a child myself. You know, my child's very diverse in.
You've reproduced?
Huh? Yeah.
You've reproduced?
Yeah.
Really?
Like gremlins, you know? And you pour the water on them and feed them and they multiply, you know? Just don't feed
they
them.
They definitely fed your ass after midnight, didn't they?
Exactly. They fed me good. You know what they fed me? Chicken.
What? My favorite food. So, but okay, I get that. All right. Looking into search histories, looking into browsing histories and whatnot. And if those parents would have done that, they would have found the same shit the police found out.
Exactly.
And what did the police find out? They found out shit like how to kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
How to get away with it. You know, the whole Slender Man thing. The parents would have been turned on to, you know, what the fuck a slender person is and what you know, creepy pasta is and you know, these sites that hold these horror stories and these scary stories. Urban legends, I think we should really call them, because I'm gonna tell you what, and this may not sit well with some listeners, but these are two little evil bitches.
Pretty much.
I blame the parents. I do. I put some blame on the parents. I also blame some on the children. Parents, as a parent, and you are, SJ is, as a parent, you can't be there 100% of the time. Yes, you can do certain things like you mentioned, but you can't be there and see, you know, what they're, and if the parents don't take that step, okay, then I guess they're never going to find out.
Well, I mean, it's simple. You set your children down at an early age and you explain to them that life is precious. You don't go around just stabbing people,
yes,
and thinking they're going to come back, you know, to life.
Right.
Once you take a life, you take a life. It's never
right.
going to be given back. And it's simple. Sit down with your child. Explain what death is. Explain what happens if you kill a person. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't neglect talking to your child. It's like the birds and the bees. Come on, you know,
right.
You're going to talk to your child about it. You know, you want your child informed. And it's just like, you know, children that go out and strangers talk to them and, you know, offer them candy. You know, you're going to talk to your child, tell them, you know, don't take this candy. It's the same thing with the internet and everything. Don't believe everything you see. Don't, you know, go out here and take a life. But apparently the children or the parents, they said they were really close with their daughters. Apparently they wasn't close enough because, well, look, this happened. And you're right. They're evil. I mean, it was a premeditated murder.
Yes. Months in advance. Now, they, you know, walking, going back in the story when they left the house with the knife, Anissa said that she saw the knife because it was, you know, sticking out, I don't know, of Morgan's jacket or pants. She saw the handle of the knife. And they were walking to a park. They went to a park. And we've all been to, like, little community parks where they have, like, the little brick buildings, you know, the men and women's room, you know, kind of a just open area, public restroom kind of deal. And that was where they were going to. That's where they wanted to, I think, at first. They did not. I think Anissa said that she or I can't remember, was it Anissa or Morgan that was literally, beating Bella's head against the concrete.
Right. And
What?
don't
Go
forget,
ahead.
they packed their book bags along with that knife with granola bars and water, and they were going to track 300 miles out to this forest.
Yes, they were. The Nicolet National Forest, which you're absolutely right, was a little over 300 miles away. And the reason that they were trying to, I guess, knock her out, they didn't want to kill her. They just wanted to knock her out and then kill her. Because according to Anissa in the interrogation, again, remind all the dreadheads, these are 12-year-old girls.
Yeah, I was riding my bike at 12 years old, playing with my cars or GI, watching GI Joe. I mean,
Yeah, I was collecting G.I. Joe figures and things like that. I just learned how to do the knuckle shuffle on the piss pump. I mean, I was learning all new things at that time.
right, exactly. I didn't have time to think about planning out a murder. I mean, that was a big part
Right.
of my worries, you know. I was discovering girls and I was like, wow, you know.
I discovered my right hand, but that's another podcast. So
Sally
they
and
want
her five sisters, is that what you're
yes, sir.
What?
So they wanted to knock her out, okay? Because according to Anissa, if you look at a person in the eyes and kill them, you see a reflection of yourself. And according to Anissa, she says, and I quote, "You don't want to kill yourself." So they didn't want to look at her in the eyes. Which is very odd because I believe it was it, I can't remember if it was Morgan or Anissa's little YouTube channel, some of the little videos on there. One of the things that they flashed up was a joke, and I'm going to tell this joke. I actually think the joke is kind of morbidly funny, but that's just me. Why would you put a baby in the blender feet first?
Why?
So you, I think, hold on, I may fuck this up, but so you can see the look in its eyes when it dies or something of that nature.
Wow.
But yet, they didn't want to look at Bella in the eyes.
Right.
So they wanted to knock her out. They even tried to get her. I think the initial plan of attack was at the slumber party.
Right.
Because they were going to try and kill her in her sleep.
Wow. Wow.
That did not work out. The bathroom incident didn't work out. I think it was according to Anissa. They were going to go bird watching in the woods. I think, long story short, I know, too late. They tackle Bella from behind, or one of them does, gets her down. She is stabbed 19 times.
19
Let that sink in, 19 times by a 12-year-old girl on another 12-year-old girl.
and she lived. That's the miraculous thing, right?
And she lived, yes, sir. I think Anissa and Morgan, I think they kind of, pulled her up close to the side of the road, which I don't even understand, or that's where, she tried to get away. And Anissa tells Bella. Bella's already saying, I can't see. She's damn near starting to die. I can't see. You know, why are you doing this? I think Morgan stated that as she's stabbing, it felt like just going through air. It didn't even feel like she was stabbing a person. She, you know, stabs this girl. Bella's saying, you know, why? We're best friends. Why are you doing this to me? Or something of that nature. And then next thing she says, Bella, that is, I hate you. Because she thinks she's pretty much going to die at this point. Now, I don't know if she goes or tries to get to, you know, a roadside out of the woods. Anissa tells her, don't move a whole lot. You'll bleed more. We're going to get help. That was not the case. And this is where Nicolet National Forest comes in, and that 300-mile hike with a book bag full of, you know, waters and granola bars. Two 12-year-old girls are going to, you know, go to this place, because this is where everyone said Slender Person lived in his mansion, was in Nicolet National Forest.
Right.
Now, they don't obviously get there. Poor Bella is laying there, having a hard time breathing as a bicycler is biking, you know, through the woods, through trails, comes across her. Calls the police. She spends 7 days in the hospital. Wow. She is now a very healthy, and from the interviews I've seen, a very level-headed girl. And I give her all my respect. How could you not?
Yeah, I mean, I had to live through something like that. That had to be just living hell. That going through all of that had to be a personal hell.
At 12 years old, and you're being, you know, stabbed, and this was, you know, in the chest, in the arms, in the legs, in the back, I think. This had to be, you know, just something, you know. It's like, we're best friends. And I think she told the bicyclist this, that it was her best friend, Morgan. Morgan did this to me. My best friend Morgan did this to me. So they were able to take and, you know, figure out who these girls were, just by, you know, going back where she would, you know, Bella was last at being the slumber party. Now these other two girls are missing because they're kind of on the run. They're like fucking fugitives at 12 years old.
Right.
They have no idea that Bella survives.
Right.
Long story short, again, too late. They were both found to be, mentally unstable, or have a mental defect or something of that nature.
Mentally incompetent.
Right. Let's see, Anissa got 25 years in a mental institution, I think it was Morgan who got 40 fucking years, because she was said, I think, to be the mastermind.
Right, she was. She was supposed to be the mastermind of it all.
I'm not sure I believe who was the mastermind here.
I'd say she was the one that was the most involved in the, you know, in the stabbings.
Very true, Dom. But Anissa is the one who introduced her apparently to the Slender Person.
Right. I'm just guessing, but I'm saying that the one that got the harsher punishment probably
Right.
was the one that done the most as far as anything, you know.
I think it was said that maybe Anissa had taken and stabbed once. I think that's what Morgan said, that she stabbed her once and or you know, whatever, maybe twice, because according to Anissa, Morgan said she that Morgan counted 17 times that she personally stabbed Bella.
Right.
But there were 19 stab wounds. So that leads me to believe that Anissa at least got two shots in there.
Right.
Evil, evil little bitches. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for them.
And I
really don't.
I don't either. And, you know, the crazy part is that my personal belief, since it was premeditated and things of that nature, you know, if they're smart enough to sit there and premeditate a murder like that, a heinous crime as a, you know, murder, I really think that they knew what they were doing. They had it all planned out. And you know, I don't think there was anything wrong with their mental capacity. You know what I'm saying? I think they were just acting that way. And, if it was me, I'd either set the jail on top of them or give them the death penalty. I mean, that's just me. I personally think they should have got the death penalty.
Well, interesting that you bring that up, because and this happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I guess we should have prefaced all this. This happened in Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, at least in Waukesha, you only have to be 10 years old and older to be tried in an adult court. Now this is one of those slippery slope kind of situations. Should a 10-year-old be tried in an adult court? But that's their law there. That's the law. The defense for Morgan and Anissa tried to get it taken down to juvenile. But if that was the case, they'd be out in their early 20s or something, right?
Right. And another thing, you know, I saw where, like, say a person, and this is kind of like goes along with it, but it doesn't. It's illegal for your kid to stay home from school and stuff like that. And the police will actually come instead of, if it's a juvenile, they will come and get the parents for the punishment. So why, even as juveniles, I'm sorry for thinking this, but if they did the crime, and even if they were tried as juveniles, I think the parents should suffer just as much as the children did.
And, you know, some would say, Don, that they are, because they don't have their little baby girl there. And I get that. Okay. But also, the parents were not allowed to actually be with the kids, be with their child while they were being interviewed. Now, I understand, in a sense, why. Because it was stated, it's their belief, I guess, Waukesha or Wisconsin, it's their belief that when you take and you have maybe a juvenile, someone under the age of 18, and you're looking at them and interviewing, interrogating them over a crime, if you have their parents in the room, they're more likely to probably not tell the fucking truth. If you have them alone, they're probably more likely to start spitting some fucking truth. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I get that, but I'm a little on the fence with that. I still think they're evil little bitches. I'm not even going to apologize for that. I don't care if they're fucking 12 years old or not. I don't care what mental disability they have. I have my own handful of mental disabilities and that I've struggled with through, you know, preteen, early teens, up till now. I haven't gone out and done anything, you know, like this. And even if I did, I don't think I'm going to be able to say, well, I'm a borderline personality disorder. I just didn't know. I've some kind of, you know, I'm, you know, I've schizophrenic traits and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I can't use that.
Right.
Even if I did, you know, they'd be like, okay, like you said, they premeditated it. Okay. This was all premeditated. This was all, you know, planned out. They knew, in my mind, they know right from wrong. At least if we believe their fucking little parents, okay?
Yeah.
We believe their fucking parents, they knew right from wrong.
Exactly.
Or the parents didn't do their part and aren't as good of a parent as they think. I don't, man, this because I start thinking about Anissa's father. And that guy just really aggravates me. There's one part in this documentary, and I'm going to say this, and then I don't know how much more I can say about this whole thing, other than, you know, look, talk to your fucking kids. You know, whatever. But there's this one part where they show Anissa's father, who her mother and father are separated. Go figure. Because this guy's a dick, man. When you watch him, I just want to punch him in the throat. I feel no pity for this guy whatsoever.
Well, he's a creep. I mean, it's just the way he even looks, his demeanor,
and
the way he talks. Just a creep. And
his demeanor's horrible. Go ahead, brother.
But the girls acted the same way. They acted like it didn't even bother them, you know?
Right.
And, you know, the demeanor was creepy on their faces. Like when they talked or, you know, described something, you know, the look on their face, it was just, you could tell they had no remorse.
Especially Morgan.
And I honestly think the other girl knew right from wrong, but she didn't care. If she would have cared, she wouldn't have went along with it.
Very true. But Anissa's dad, at this one point in this documentary, this is the part I absolutely, it just, I see that I'm just, you know what, when I see this part, because there, she calls, okay, and they have these, you know, little prison, you know, devices or whatnot. Maybe she's in the mental institution at this point.
Right.
And she is talking to her dad. Her brother is also there. And a longtime childhood friend.
Right.
And they're all talking, and of course, you know, when Anissa figures out, I got Tyler here. I can't remember that girl's name. That girl aggravates the shit out of me, too. I tell you, everyone in that documentary aggravates the shit out of me for some reason. But when she figures out that she's talking to all these people, she's talking real fast. She's getting excited. This is a girl who's locked up. And is going to be locked up until she's damn near 40.
Right. Morgan and Anissa. Yeah. There you go.
Anissa. Anissa's going to be damn near 40, like 36, 37 years old before she can even. And then she's going to be on even more supervised shit once she's out.
Morgan
won't damn near see the light of day till she's almost 60.
Right. If she sees the light of day then.
If she does. 56 years old is when she's expected to be outside of an institution wall. But Anissa, this is the only kind of, I guess, sympathy that I have for this, you know, for Anissa, at least. And she's all excited. She's explaining how, oh, she's on the floor and she's spinning all around. And she's like, oh, I just feel like a turtle who wants to poop or something. And her dad jumps in. Anissa. She already explained, I'm so happy to talk to all you guys. And this guy's like, Anissa. Are you happy to talk to us? Is that why I see you're all sped up? Are you happy to talk with us? Well, duh. She just fucking said that. See, that was just dumb. This guy's, I feel like he's acting more than what these kids could have been.
Right.
I don't think he's the perfect fucking father. Like, oh, I watch Anissa, I see a face on your iPad. What? Who is that? What? I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't. This guy, there's some shady shit about this guy.
Yes. They need to reevaluate parents too. You know, in my opinion. But you know.
Right. But hey, brother, let's wrap this up in a way. I mean, what's the you know the moral lesson that we're going to put out there for the Dreadheads. What should you? I mean, what's the lesson from this, Don, that you take from this case?
Always be vigil and watch what your child is doing. Always sit down and explain to them the rights and wrongs and monitor the best of your abilities of what they're doing on the internet. The moral of the story is the internet is a great place. You can get lost in the internet. You can find anything. Yes. But it's like you said, it's a double-edged sword. You have to be vigilant and watch what your child does on this internet nowadays because there is a lot of dangerous sites and dangerous people out there that take advantage of a child's mind. You know, children are open to influence. And, you know, you have to combat these evil things. It's okay to listen to a campfire story or an urban legend, but that's what it sure is. It's a campfire story and an urban legend. And you have to explain to your kids, this is not real. So, you know, just make sure you monitor your kids the best of your ability. And you know, just explain to them. Take time. Explain to them. And spend time with your children to know what they're
doing. Yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that what I would pull out of this, actually, I'm going to take from the Slenderman stabbing Wikipedia page that states that members of Creepypasta, of the Creepypasta community, held a 24-hour live stream on YouTube June 13th and the 14th. In 2014, the stabbing that happened in May, the end of May, beginning of June 2013 or 14, I should say. They did this 24-hour live stream on YouTube to raise money for the stabbing victim. Joe Joswowski. He's an administrator on a creepypasta website, said the purpose of the stream, this is very important in my opinion, the purpose of the stream was to show that members of the community cared for the victim and did not condone real-world violence because they enjoyed fiction that contains violence.
Right.
There seemed to be a very blurred line between maybe fiction and reality with these girls. I believe that because they were so entranced by a fucking campfire story that they damn near tried to kill one of their friends. Or they did try to kill one of their friends. They damn near killed one of their friends.
Right.
So, that's what you can take. And I agree with you, Don. Talk to your fucking kids. You know, the internet, you know, this stuff isn't going anywhere. It's, you know, I mean, you're going to always find scary stories online. My kids grew up watching horror films. They didn't grow up thinking that they needed to do those things because they knew the difference between what's real and what isn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think that line was clearly defined in either one of the two girls' family life.
And I'm going to put this out here too. If you hear a story about a Momo.
Momo.
It's supposedly a demon and it was created. It's another campfire story. It's a creepypasta. It was a piece of architecture that a artist did, and it made it was a face of a distorted person, or a person's distorted face. Mm-hmm. It's not real. It goes on the same lines as the slender boo, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and you know, kids, that's not real either. You got.
But I can tell you, I can tell you what is real. You know what is real?
What's that?
There's been sightings here in Ohio of a, I think it's real. Going off of, you know, I guess some urban legends of Momo, but it's called Moomoo.
Oh yeah, I've heard of them.
Have you heard of that? And you're down there. You're down there just south of me in good old Kentucky, and it's been like almost like ghost cows, and then you see sometimes the what looks like just the, you know, a cloth in the shape of a woman, which, you know, kind of resembles what, you know, a lot of women, I think it's mostly women. I don't know any guys who wears a muumuu.
Oh, I've seen a few guys that wear muumuus.
It is 2020, but this is a very real thing.
Yeah. And it's said that if you look very closely on the ground, sometimes the muumuus that are ghostly leave a trail of ecto milk.
Interesting.
And you know, and you can hear a faint sound of ooh.
Mm.
Yeah. And you know, the claw.
I didn't do that. What would you hear?
I don't know what that was. Did you hear something? What was that
fucking
sound?
It's fucking muumuu.
It was a muumuu.
I swear on everything I love. All right. Hey, look. Wait. We got to get the fuck out of here because the non-gender slender moo, I think, is on my trail. And plus I hear the white coats. I don't know if it's just the drugs they're giving me. I don't know what they're giving you in your cell, Don.
I hear
they're giving me some weird shit.
I hear Ellie hee hee.
You hear hee hee.
That's it.
Yeah.
Did you hear?
Yeah,
it?
I know. I hear it too. I hear it in my head. That's what I hear all the time.
El,
all right, I hope you. El hee hee.
El hee hee. Woo.
Hey, and yeah, Shimo. If you don't believe us, you can go check that shit out. Because that's some real shit right there.
Don't say Shimon three times.
Don't look in the mirror and say Shimon three times. You'll see El Hee. Don, hey, please don't go to the mirror when we're done here and look in the mirror and say that shit, man. I think you're going to be very welcomed by the Dreadheads in your inaugural, did I say that right? Inaugural? Yeah. Inaugural podcast. Your maiden voyage here in the Insane Asylum, man. So don't go do that shit. He's already done it, gotcha.
Come on!
Nope. You better not be looking in a mirror. Hey, before he says that third Shimon, I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out all the other podcasts on Night of Living Dreads, Dreads with no A, nightlivingdreads.com, Night of Living Dreads on Facebook. Check us out on Stitcher. Don, no more Simone or Shimon.
Shimon.
Oh, my God. He's been possessed. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we'll see you on the other side next week.
Later.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.